Warning, this program will discuss adult themes. Viewer discretion is advised.
So now we'll get finally to what you came here to hear tonight, which is the witness testimonies from some of your fellow Courage members. And I'm not going to do too much in the way of introduction because they're going to tell their own stories. But it gives me great pleasure first to welcome Connie C. from Long Island. Thank you.
I've known about Courage for about 20 years. I came in 20 years ago, and I went to a few meetings in Manhattan with Father Harvey and a few of the Courage members. But I didn't stay, mainly because, it was similar to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and the meetings was similar. They talked about their feelings. But the real reason was because I never really acted on my homosexual tendencies, and I felt out of place. So, I stayed for a while, and then I left, and I came back to Courage, I guess about 6-7 years ago. And I was in a different space. And I knew I couldn't get in AA what I needed with regard to same-sex attraction, because that was about alcoholism. So I started coming to the meetings, and I went to a few conferences and retreats, and I've been staying ever since. But anyway, a little bit about my background. I come from a family where my father was a compulsive gambler. And, a lot of money, he made a good salary, but a lot of money went towards the gambling. And, he didn't really talk to me. I never had a conversation with my father. And, I had my brothers, he was very close with them, so I always felt rejected by him. And my mother, I knew she loved me, but, she was so frustrated. They were always arguing about my father gambling. And, a lot of money went to his gambling. So when I became a teenager, she insisted I go to a trade school instead of a college. I wanted to go to college. But, there was money problems, so she insisted I go to a trade school, and I did. And I hated it. And, resentments developed within me because I wanted to, I really didn't want to be a secretary, but anyway, I went, and I felt cheated, and so I figured the only way to get out of that was to find a husband and get married, but, I was overweight, so there wasn't too many takers, so I was like, 18, but anyway, a while later, my sister was getting married, and she asked me to be her maid of honor. So, she said, I'm not going to let you be my maid of honor unless you lose weight. So I lost a lot of weight. And, and then suddenly men noticed me. So and I started dating, and I spent the next 12 years dieting to stay very thin. So that men would like me, but so I would go out with them, but I never really, I couldn't develop a bond with them on an emotional basis. And, I had this secret life. I would go out with men, but then I would fantasize about women. And The only way I could keep those feelings hidden was to drink over them. A good part of my alcoholism is about, suppressing my attraction to women, because I was ashamed of that. Anyway, I came from a very traditional background, and I was raised to get married and have children, but I knew that wasn't going to happen. But anyway, at the end of the drinking, they say in AA, everything comes to the surface when you stop drinking. At least that would happen to me. I was going out with this guy. I knew him for about 20 years, and my mother was pressuring me to get married. I was 33 years old. And, we started dating. And then at the end, we broke up. The drinking was out of control. Everything was happening. The job wasn't working out too well. And I was drinking a lot. And then, I started to have feelings for this woman, and I became, really attracted to her, and I fell in love with her. So I was hiding all these feelings, and I never really acknowledged to myself that I was attracted to women, because I had the alcohol. But this time, I acknowledged that, I had same-sex attraction. And it was kind of freeing, because I finally, faced it. But anyway, the drinking got out of hand, and, I was working, and I was drinking on the job. And the relationship with the boyfriend fizzed out, so, everything was coming to a head. And I would wake up in the morning and I would drink. And until one morning I woke up and all of a sudden I didn't feel like having a drink. So I thought that was odd. So anyway, I put the bottle down and I went to work. And at work, I wasn't drinking, and I was just happy not to be drunk that morning, because every morning I was getting drunk. So throughout that morning, I started to think about going to church, and that never happened. And as as the morning wore on, it got more powerful, this thought to go to church. And, by noon, it was so compelling, I couldn't ignore it. I had to go into the church, and I worked in Lower Manhattan. So I walked into Our Lady of Victory Church, it's on William Street, and I sat in front of the cross, and I started to pray, because I knew the only reason I was sober that day was because something spiritual had to happen. So as I was leaving, and I didn't, this church, I had been in there once before, and I thought it was a waste of land in the congested Wall Street area. Between the drinking and the same-sex attraction, God had become a distant entity. And 2 months before this happened, Pope John Paul II visited New York. And that day was the day that I realized that I couldn't get through the morning sober. And the only reason I went to see him was because I couldn't sit still at my desk. So, I remember it was pouring heads. It was torrential rainfall. And then he passed by, all of a sudden the rain stopped. And he blessed me, and he blessed the whole crowd, all the crowds of people that were there. And I said to myself, God is really for all the success stories like the Pope, and I just left. And that was a couple of months before. And it never occurred to me to ask God to help me with the drinking. So then it was a couple of months later, and I'm, you know, I got called back to this church, and I'm sitting in front of it, and I started to pray. You know, I got down on my knees, and I started to pray. And I don't know if you've ever been in that church when you, there's an expression over the inscription over the wall. It says, the kingdom of God is within you. So, you know, I was dead inside. So, this is incredible, but as I left, I became aware of a presence of indescribable beauty and a peace I never knew enveloped me. And then from the inside, everything became luminous and bright, and, you know, the world looked beautiful. So anyway, I went back to work. But I was still an alcoholic. I started to think, well, God was going to take all this addiction away, and I didn't have to do anything about it. So I drank the next day, and that was the end of that. But I knew at that time that I needed help. And anyway, they had an employee assistance program at work, and I went to rehab, and in rehab, I wasn't drinking, so I finally faced, you know, the same-sex attraction, and, but I didn't want to go to AA because, you know, I wasn't aware right then and there that it was a spiritual program, and I was afraid to come out of the rehab because I was afraid I might drink, and they told us to read the first step. So I read the step, and it talked about a higher power, and talked about that you can't stop drinking unless a higher power helps you. And I just experienced that. So my own experience was consistent with the first step. And you know, I went to meetings in the rehab, and there was something very special about those AA people. It was like a glow around them. So I knew God was speaking to me through them. And also, one of the counselors said that alcoholism was very insidious, and that underlying the compulsion to drink is a paralyzing fear. That hit me, because I knew I drank to hide my feelings of same-sex attraction. So, you know, it was like an awakening that maybe AA, maybe the alcoholism had something to do with, you know, my same-sex attraction. So, anyway, I left there, and I started going to meetings. And but then after 15 years of going to meetings, all of a sudden my brother got sick. And I came, you know, he was diagnosed with liver cancer. And it took me out of myself because I felt bad for him. He was only 42 years old. And, you know, I was 15 years sober, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit saw fit to fill me with, at that point, I was 15 years sober, with an internal softness that I never experienced before. And it was just then that I realized what attracted me to those women were really, you know, the missing parts of myself. So, but also at the same time, a couple of weeks later, I was watching the telecare, and half watching, I was in the kitchen. There's a Catholic program in New York. I don't know if you get it anyplace else. And the priest was talking about, you know, vocations, that some people are called to the priesthood and some people are called to married life. And then he said, and as he was saying this, I looked at the television, and his precise words were, some people may never find anybody. And as he was saying that, this light went off. So I realized that those words were meant for me, and I started to, wow, I said to myself, is that what God has in store for me? So it was a little bit of resentment that, you know, I was sober for 15 years, and, you know, my faith was going to be living alone. So I got a little discouraged, and I started to seek out organizations like Dignity that, you know, they condone sexuality in the Christian atmosphere. And I remember going to one meeting, and it wasn't for me. I mean, I couldn't get beyond the fact that it wasn't really what Christ taught. So I did that for a while, and then I started to go around in circles because I couldn't, you know, I wasn't accepting what God was telling me, what I believe was my destiny to live a single life. And I just couldn't accept it because I was still young. I was in my mid-30s, and this was going to be my life, just living alone and not having anybody. So I tried Dignity and all those other places, but I kept going around in circles. I couldn't get truth. So I came back to courage, and I started to go to the meetings, and I remember going to a confession, and Courage Perry said that the call to chastity is also a call to holiness. That's the first time I ever connected it. And I always saw it as a burden, but, you know, he was looking at it as a calling. So I started to go to the meetings, and I realized that going to Courage is the Catholic Church, is the Church of Truth. And so, you know, that's what I've been doing ever since. I've been coming to the Courage meetings and, you know, trying to stay sober. And, you know, I came to believe that we don't get to choose the crosses we carry. And you know, mine was, I had two afflictions, alcoholism and same-sex attraction. And, you know, I had to live in the real world with those afflictions. And being sober was, I believe God wanted me to live a single life of chastity and to do it soberly. That's what I came to believe. And but anyway, he entrusted me with this vision that, you know, the Holy Spirit filled me with this thing that that internal softness, I realized that when I was looking at other women, I was really trying to capture that what that was missing in me at that time, that softness. And then I started to realize that maybe same-sex attraction wasn't really sexual. It was like, anyway, for me, it was like searching in other women what was missing in me, that authentically feminine qualities of nurturance and tenderness. And so that's what I got out of it. And but, you know, it comes back. I'm not cured. The same-sex attraction comes back if you don't, if I don't deal with myself and, you know, my faults and, you know, it's like the alcoholism. You're either going towards a drink or away from it. The same would say same-sex attraction. If you don't, if I don't look at my faults and, you know, what my real motives are, then I start to fantasize about women so I don't have to look at myself. But anyway, it's good to be back encouraged because, you know, I know people in AA that they try to share about their same-sex attraction, and it doesn't work out because AA is really about alcoholism. So I keep it separate, and, you know, we really do need the meetings. I did. I got sober in 1980, and that was the year that Courage came into existence. But, you know, I did a lot of it all by myself, and there was no Courage at that time. I wasn't aware of it. And it's really haunting, and it's lonely to face same-sex attraction without a support group like AA. So I'm glad it's here. I'm glad the people that are coming in, they have, you know, they have the support of the program. So thanks for listening to me. Thank you.